Portugal. And so I thought I'd make this tape to you tonight. It's about 10 o'clock, but I'm not really very sleepy. And since Pauline just left for work, I thought that maybe it would be better to make it tonight than to try to make it tomorrow and have to be quiet and all. You know how it is. So I thought that I'd go ahead and get it out of the way tonight. And not that it's getting it out of the way, because I hope it'll be fairly interesting to you. Just one second, I'll check and see if it's loud enough now. Seems to be all right. Well, as I told you, I will tell you a little bit about Christmas at the end of the tape, which was pretty uneventful. I had to work and all. But as I told you, I had planned on going to Lisbon on Thursday when I got off duty. And that was the 26th. So I got off about 7 o'clock, and I came home, and I lay down for an hour, and then drove on up to Sevilla. And they had suggested to me at the travel agency here on the base that I park my car at a garage. I didn't even know they had such a thing. And leave it there, and then come back and pick it up later on. So I did that. I went over, and then I parked my car, and then it happened to be, just about a half a block from the Iberia air terminal, and I took the bus out to the airport. And as usual, the plane was a little bit late, which is nothing unusual for Spain. As I say, it's the usual thing. So while I was standing there in line waiting, there weren't too many people, an American fellow, obviously American, and obviously a New York Jew, came up and asked me something about the money or something. I forget what it was. But anyhow, he was a freelance writer who had been traveling through Europe for 4 months, you know, a typical type. So I sat with him on the plane and talked, and mostly about his impressions of Spain, which were not very realistic, I'm afraid. But then again, he'd only been there for a month or so, a couple of weeks maybe, not even a month. So the trip went by rather quickly. And when I got into Lisbon, I came prepared for the rain, you know. I took my rain boots. And then the raincoat that you so thoughtfully put into the Christmas box, Mother, I put that in my little case. Because having been in the Mediterranean for a year now, I've been fairly well acquainted with the weather and know that you can never quite be sure what's going to happen. So when we got into Lisbon, rather, I noticed that there was a tremendous number of people up on the, not the balcony, but you know where you go to view the airplanes coming in? And they all seemed to be looking for that plane, and I said, gee, I can't imagine who they'd be looking for. I mean, and the fellow that was sitting next to me said, well, you know, it is a big airport, and they're probably waiting for other planes to come in, too. I said, no, I don't think so. Well, sure enough. When we got off the plane, I got off first, and there was all kinds of photographers and reporters and everyone else there. And I wondered who it could be. And finally, I stopped long enough to turn around and see. And there were two teenage girls on the plane that I hadn't really paid any attention to. Oh, I'd say they're about 16 years old. And it seemed to be one of the teenagers. So when I went into customs, I asked them. I said, who's this? You know, what's it all about? And they told me it was Mary Soul. I don't recall having heard her name before. But it's sort of like a teenage idol, rock and roll style or something, I guess. So this kid was in there getting her picture taken, and all the teenagers were out trying to get her autograph, and I thought, well, it doesn't just happen in America. And they were running hell-bent for election through the terminal there, causing great disturbances trying to get a look or an autograph from this girl. But I thought, here I came all the way up in the plane with her, didn't even know who she was, and of course could care less. And then when I got to Lisbon, I just went to the bank and changed my money into escudos and got a cab out to the hotel. And as I mentioned, I was staying at the Hotel Phoenix, where Alice had stayed. At least I think that's where she said she stayed. And I was quite pleased. By the time I got there, though, it must have been about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I was really awfully tired from having been up all night and then the trip up to Sevilla and then the flight out. So I lay down for a couple of hours, I thought, and I did fall asleep. But then when I still didn't feel like going out, so I had them send up some soup and things to the room. I just didn't feel like eating out. And then I went, got ready for bed, and that was it. But the hotel, I was very, very pleased with it, both with the people that were in the hotel and with the hotel itself. A lovely room with wall-to-wall carpeting and a radio and all kinds of buzzers for the valet and the chambermaid. And this is most unusual in European hotels, at least European hotels I've stayed in. Not that I need that kind of service by any means, but it was very nice to have it. And I had a nice view out in the street near the, to see one of the many fountains or statues that they have out there. So I was really quite pleased with it. And the service, as I say, was very good. I have no complaints at all. So the next morning, anyhow, I was going to go on tour to Fatima. And I stopped downstairs, and they said, yes, the bus would stop in front of the hotel, and I could get on a chair and go to Fatima, and it would be all taken care of. And then I called to check on my reservation coming back. I've learned that you just can't wait, you know, with the people over here. And there was an error, but it was one easily correctable. It was, they had booked me on a flight that was leaving at 1900, but actually the plane left at 5 o'clock. So if I'd gotten out there at 6 o'clock, I would have, to get the 7 o'clock flight, I would have missed the flight. But I'm so used to that now, you know, that I just try every inch of the way to check in hopes that, you know, I'll pick up the error as I go along. But that was the only error. So I went down and got on the bus. I think it was 7:45. I had breakfast sent up to the room. Well, continental breakfast, they do that, you know, coffee and hot rolls and butter. And I went down and I got on the bus. And it picked up the rest of the tourists at some of the other hotels, and at one central meeting place down near the monuments of the Second World War. This may be more meaningful to Alice. In fact, she may not find this tape too interesting because she's seen all these things. And from the looks of things, I was going to be the only American. I wasn't, as a matter of fact. I found that out later on. But there was one Spaniard, and so the tour was conducted both in English and in French because everyone else on the bus was French, and they were very, very nicely dressed, fur coats and all, and seemed to be very nice people. I didn't talk to them, of course, but they seemed quite nice. And I enjoyed listening to them and to their comments. Sometimes I can catch a word here or there. And the tour guide looked for all the world like, I don't know if you remember Gloria Nunes, who was a classmate of mine, a holy name. But the guide looked like her father, really, just, of course, that's not so unusual. He was Portuguese. So we left Lisbon, and it was a beautiful sunshiny day, and we had wonderful weather all while I was there. Everyone said I was so foolish to go in the wintertime, but I really felt that I couldn't have picked a better time, and I enjoyed myself so much. I'd been waiting for so long to get someone to go to Fatima with me or go to Portugal with me, and they always had some excuses, that either Mary Jane or someone else, you know. And I've decided that I've got 1 year left now, and when I want to see something, I'm going to go, and if no one wants to come along with me, that's all right, that I'll manage, because any place that I would go, I would be like to Fatima or probably to Lourdes or something like that. And if I went to Madrid, I'd find Amparo and have her take me around. But that's neither here nor there. Besides, I have friends in Madrid. So we started out on the tour anyway. It must have been about a little bit after, 8:38, I guess, a little bit after 8 in the morning. And I must say, I was very much impressed with the cleanliness of Lisbon. Of course, now you can't compare Lisbon with someplace like Sevilla or anything like that because it's entirely different. But it was so clean. And going out of the city, they had many, many modern apartment buildings. I was flabbergasted. And they looked like they were well constructed. Almost all of them had balconies. I guess that's the thing with them, or little porches, you know. And several stories high, you know, 10 or 12 stories high, so they must have had elevators. And as we went out of the city, the guide pointed out one area. I suppose it would be like a housing area. It looked like a, almost like duplexes, really, except probably more than two. I can't recall now. But anyhow, he said that it was a government project, and the workers paid on the houses for 20 years, paid rent for 20 years, and after 20 years, the house was theirs. And one avenue